What's going on, folks? TJ Lowerman, aka That Sports Gamer here. Bullpen Banter, episode 73, talking about Diamond Dynasty. And I am joined by my good friend Chris, aka Snaggle J. Chris, what's going on?
Well, ironically enough, Diamond Dynasty was my nickname in high school. So how could I miss this episode?
Interesting.
Probably, in my opinion, like the unofficial, official kickoff to the Bullpen Banter season. I know there's been a few episodes, but like for a lot of people who have come to enjoy the first 72 episodes of Bullpen Banter, I think for a lot of people this was like the unofficial start to baseball season. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about, and I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. It was a great stream. I think it was almost like it was a little over an hour and a half. Tons of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm ready to just jump right into this and talk about this. As you can see, we have the recap here for our viewing listeners. Again, if you want to just listen to the audio of this after we record the shows, you can go to thatsportsgamer.com/bullpenbanter. That has all your subscribe links and your iTunes, your Pocket Casts, your Google Play podcast listener thingy thing, or just an RSS feed. As well, if you're not watching this live, youtube.com/thatsportsgamer for the archives. But if you watch the video, you can see my hand doing a thing on the side of my webcam and the list of things they talked about in this. Legends ratings, the new attribute cap of 125, new overalls, programs explained, created player overhaul, souvenirs arrive, and Babe Ruth ratings at the end. But yeah, have you been playing MLB the Show, or are we just diving right into this bad boy?
I played some Road to the Show a few weeks ago, just kind of messing around and was kind of feeling the itch. But I haven't been playing a whole lot. I have been enjoying watching people play. Mm-hmm. I noticed that the number of MLB the Show 17 streams is slowly ticking upwards. I've been spending the majority of my baseball time playing another, baseball game, which is exclusive to the PC. That you and I are both very familiar with. That's been kind of my baseball gaming time right now.
I hear you. And if you're a fan of that game, we will have something special to talk about later before we sign off, because that's kind of cool what we're doing.
Yeah.
So as I said, hour and a half stream about Diamond Dynasty. I have 4 pages of notes that we're going to discuss. And it's not like I have 3 pages and then like one rolled over. The 4th page literally goes to the end.
Nice.
Like Google almost wanted to print me a 5th page. And I was like, no, we're not doing that. Nice. All right. Let's dive hardcore into this thing, assuming I can get my Stream Deck to actually click over. There we go. A couple things I mentioned were there's now over 120 legends in the game. 50 plus of them are Hall of Famers. And we now have a new overall rating scale. So you can see 0 to 64 is common now. 65 to 74 is bronze. 75 to 79 is silver. 80 to 84 is gold. And 85 to 99 is diamond. Interesting play. This seems to be going more along the lines of like what FIFA does. I believe FIFA's the high tier in FIFA is gold, which starts at 80 and goes to 99. And it also seems like, so with some of the stuff that we're going to mention, they are going more of a FIFA way where you're not going to get guys bunched up at the top, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I don't particularly care what rating is what. I mean, you know, there was a lot of the naysayers were like, oh, well, they're doing this to artificially drive up the prices. I mean, I feel like an 85 is still going to, you know, be like cost roughly what an 85 would cost. Mm-hmm. I mean,
maybe a little bit more, because assuming what the quick sell values are, they should be a little bit more.
I
low diamonds, but they'll still be very common, I assume.
My thing is, and they didn't talk about this on the stream, and I hope we do get some clarification before, but I assume that the quick sell values will be altered with this. The reason being is, and we've talked about this before, how much money people made working the markets last year. Hmm. If you have an 85 that quick sells for 5K, people are going to have a ridiculously large sum of stubs from working the market. So much so that I think it may possibly destroy the market.
Well, you also got to remember that now that diamonds are going to be 85, guess what? You're not going to be pulling anybody over 85 if your luck was like mine last year.
Yeah.
Which could be a thing.
It's funny because wasn't it just last year that they actually lowered the diamond to a 90? Or was that 2 years ago?
They moved it down to 90, I believe, last year. But then
because it was 93 before, right?
I think so. But then they also instituted now that they had low diamonds and high diamonds.
Yeah. So, like, again, I don't think it fundamentally changes the way that, you know, people play Diamond Dynasty. It's going to be interesting to see, like, again, with the, with people working in the market and quick selling, like, is it, you know, how it's going to, you know, curb or possibly add to how that rolls. But, I mean, overall, I was just like, okay, you know, whatever. We'll see how that works.
So the reason they said that is was that they're attempting to spread out the difference between the truly elite players and everyone else. The distribution of the tiers is still going to remain the same. So by percentage, I guess you'll still have the same percent of commons and bronzes and silvers and golds and diamonds as you had last year. With the retooling of the overall ratings, you're going to see players with lower overalls. So 85 last year might be an 80 or an 81 to start this year. And Trout will not be a 99 this year. I assume he's still going to be like a 97 or 98.
Yeah, I would say 95 to 97 would be pretty reasonable. Mm-hmm.
I would even assume the top half of that, like in the 97.
Yeah.
So the way FIFA does it, I think, I want to say Ronaldo and Messi are both like 94 to 96, and they are the best players in the game for base cards. They're the best base cards at like 94 to 96. So I think we're getting closer to that.
Yeah, I'm okay with Trout not being a 99. Mm-hmm. Like, and the thing is that, again, if Mike Trout plays like Mike Trout, obviously the door is open for him to, you know, get a ratings uptick and get to that 99. If, you know, that could happen. But I mean, I'm okay with Trout not being a 99 because, again, when you compare him to some of the people that they have shown who are 99s, as good as Mike Trout is, he's not Babe Ruth.
True.
Yet.
And then also there's still going to be IE boosts. So he's still going to be probably playing like a 99 anyway. So
probably pretty much every day.
They've also expanded the rating cap on certain individual ratings up to 125. We'll talk about that a little bit later on when we get there. Roughly in MLB 17, if you were a 99 contact, that equated to about a 330 average in their testing. And so expanding to 125 allows for players like Tony Gwynn and Ted Williams to really stand out. Guys actually hit, you know, 360, 370, 380 in certain years, or 400 for Ted Williams. So that's nice, assuming it doesn't get too crazy. I mean, like, hopefully there's not a ton of guys blown out at these new high things. Because of the new 125 ratings and the attributes, it'll lead to a rescale of the tier thresholds. So this tier threshold thing, or these tiers are redone because of stuff like that. Now we're not going to have a whole bunch of people lumped at 99. Like we said, Trout's going to probably be 96, 97, maybe 98, but yeah, now there should be a nice, like a swath of players and not just everybody piled up there.
Yeah, which I think is probably a good thing in the longevity of the 2018 Diamond Dynasty mode.
Yeah. And players rated from 90 to 99 are going to be on a weighted curve. So the difference between a player that's 90 and 99 is going to be a lot bigger than the difference between, say, someone that's 70 and a 79 or an 80 and an 89. So that's good. So getting those super high cards are going to be hard, but it seems like it's going to be worth it for those guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the rating scale takes another revamp in next year's version of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this was something that they wanted to address the upper tier players, but they didn't have time to rescale everything to fit within the 1 to 99 scale that we've all come to know and love. Like, a lot of people kind of reacted like, oh, like 125, like that's dumb. Like, why not just have, you know, 99 be the new 99? And I mean, but that would require them literally recalculating pretty much everything in the game.
Right. Yeah. And so a 99, like, so 99 power versus righty last year and 99 power versus righty this year are the exact same. But if someone has 125 power versus righty this year, it is going to have more power.
And that addresses a lot of people's concerns that they had, where they felt, you know, that 99 players didn't play like 99 players, especially in the power department. But that goes back to the whole hitting engine discussion and whatnot. And that's the thing is, you know, ultimately, I think it's a good thing. I think there should be a better scale. I think that if you have a team, if you have two, you know, similar players, like, you know, like user wise. And one guy has a team with 95s and 99s, and one guy has a team of 88s and 93s. The guy with the better card should win. And like, I felt like that didn't happen a lot last year, that an 88 played a lot like a 93 or a 95 played a lot like a 99. And you could kind of get away with, you know, picking players who maybe weren't as good. But what this does add value to, especially in the early going, is those guys. And Saul Talamachi is a good pick. You know, Salty's a good pick right off the bat. Mm. If you get his flashback card,
it's always a good pick.
Because he's got that very high one side, like he could do one thing very well, and that's mash righties. You know,
yeah,
because it's going to be a while till you're unlocking these guys that have, you know, 120
monsters,
120, 125 ratings.
Yeah. And again, I would like to think that everybody that listens to a Bullpen Banter is a savvy MLB The Show player. So I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but just in case, again, overalls don't really mean anything unless you're like flipping on the market and you want a guy to go to the next tier so that you can make more money off of him. Overalls don't mean a whole heck of a lot. I think when you're playing, you still need to key in on the attributes that are important to you and help you out.
Yep.
Say, just because that guy's a 99 overall, if he is, you know, not good in something that you need him to be good at, it's not going to help you. Like, who was it? I think they show off later. We'll talk about the 97 Frank Thomas. 97 is great. His fielding is straight garbage.
Yeah.
So don't think just because he's a 97 and you put him at first base that he's going to be this amazing defender. You still have to look at these cards on an individual basis to see how they're going to play for you and to fit in your team and the way that you play.
Exactly.
Like if you're someone that plays a lot of contact and likes getting the ball, like making contact, putting runners in motion, doing stuff like that, having a whole bunch of 99s that are all power and no contact and no speed, that's not going to play into your play style well. So you're definitely going to want to be looking at these things on an individual basis and not necessarily just looking at the big overall.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's, you know, again, the majority of the people who listen to this program don't really have to be told that, but it is something very good to remember. You know, you can find good, especially in the first 2 to 3 months where, you know, you're going to be trotting out, you know, silvers and golds for the first little while. It's finding those right ones. A lot of times you can get away with a silver that has the exact attributes that you need at a certain position than blowing your stubs on a gold who would be more average across the board. You know, like it's you have to be savvy.
Yeah. Or you get those platoons that'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
For a tenth of the price.
And I think these new rating systems, the first thing that hit me when you look at the whole package and all the ratings discussions throughout the stream, the first thing I thought of was the people who are savvier with their lineup, I think are going to have a better time playing the game this year. I feel like, people who are savvy are going to be rewarded.
Yeah. Especially since last year, we noticed a lot of the flashbacks and stuff were very, especially the lower rated flashbacks always had holes in their game, like where you might have high contact versus righty, but then no contact versus lefty and no power, or maybe some little speed. But you definitely have to find out what mix is going to work for you at each position and how it's going to play.
Yeah.
Speaking of flashbacks, let's take a look at the Barry Larkin card that they showed off. This is the card from last year and this year. As you can see, it was a 92 in last year's game. It is now an 89. It has dropped down a little bit. Last year, it's contact versus lefty and vision were capped out at 99. This year, you can see that's got a boost up to 112. I can't see my screenshot that well. 110 and 120. That's going to be a super nice card versus lefties.
Yeah.
Now, with his 120 vision, will really help show off that he was the league leader in K rate that year. So hopefully that plays a little bit better for you if you're a guy that can't vision well. With the new scaling, as I said, you can see that it went from a 92, and now with the individual attributes changed, it has dropped down to an 89.
Yeah.
Something else I also noticed about this, we talked about it a little bit in the Bullpen Banter Discord. If you look, for his power versus lefties, it went from 80 and now it dropped down to, is that a 56?
Yeah.
Healthy Lou Gehrig mentioned that he saw that too, and it comes across as if they use different metrics to calculate the power, but he wasn't sure about that. So I went back and actually looked at, this is the 1988 Barry Larkin season. With 80 power was a little bit ridiculous, because if you actually looked at his numbers, he had like 35 doubles and like 12 home runs or something.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they tweaked, like with all their hitting engine tweaks and stuff, if now contact is going to help more guys that are hitting extra base hits and not home runs, and maybe power is going to be more of a home run focus type thing than things for guys that hit like doubles and triples.
Yeah. I feel like the one thing that I've gotten away from, because they've shown it in literally every stream, their wonderful little PCI chart and how it affects contact guys and neutral guys and power guys. One thing I do feel like, and I kind of thought the same thing when I saw this Barry card, is, you know, maybe you're going to see contact dictate more of that line drive kind of. And you figure that makes sense, right? Like a guy who makes more solid contact doesn't necessarily drive the ball out of the ballpark, but he's able to drive the ball to all fields. Right. Like I feel like this Barry Larkin card should be able to do.
Yep.
And you know, the 120 vision is only going to help with that.
Yeah. And then for another comparison, they showed the 99 Craig Kimbrel from last year. He's dropped down to a 97 this year. He was getting capped in Ks per nines, hits per nines, and clutch. And now he's essentially pushing the cap for all those. Because I think he was striking out a ridiculous number, walking very few, and had a lot of saves. So, very clutch guy.
Possibly one of the worst relievers in the game. That
yeah, right now.
That seems to be the opinion of most of the people who were like, my God, that Kimbrel is so trash. He should be like a 79.
Yeah, and I felt like there were multiple cards where you could get, you know, 95 plus hits per nine and K per nine.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
would you go out and spend a lot on this card to do it?
Yeah. When you literally throw two pitches, you know, I mean, the two seamers in there, but it's so fast that it's basically the same as the four seamer. You know, it's pretty easy to hit for an average to above average player.
Yeah. But now with the changes, he's going to shrink your PCI down even more.
Yes.
Be a little bit extra difficult to hit. Something else you notice here, they now have the velocities in the top right of the player card, so you'll know how fast each pitch is going.
Love it.
That's something you couldn't see last year unless you went into a game and saw it, or if you used our good friends over at daddyleagues.com to look at cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this Craig Kimbrel should be pretty nasty next year. The next thing they revealed, which we saw on the GameStop Monday, was the addition of these immortal programs. So now, essentially, it looks like everything is, there's going to be a program for everything. There's not just going to be like random missions strewn about. It seems like every mission is going to be part of a program that's going to lead you to some sort of end game awesome card.
Yeah.
And all these are going to require a ton to unlock. It looks like they're going to be essentially very close to like the Griffey program from MLB 17. So
yeah,
they said there's only going to be one or a couple per position. So far for immortals, we've seen 10. There were 8 in the GameStop Monday video. Babe Ruth, Jackie Robinson, Chipper Jones, Cal Ripken Jr., Ted Williams, Goose Gossage, Billy Wagner, and Ken Griffey Jr. Today we learned about, or in that stream, we learned about Bob Gibson, and the 10th is going to be Vladimir Guerrero, who we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, I am excited. These look very interesting, and I think they're going to be extremely tough and probably take a lot for us to unlock these guys.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Like,
these are going to be the best cards in the game.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about later, how good they are.
Yeah, I don't want people having them anytime soon.
And I think, and again, we beat this to death last year over the Griffey program. And how they said it was going to take, you know, X amount of time and probably till the All-Star break. And then they made the very curious decision to release the veteran Griffey when they did, knowing that releasing that veteran Griffey was going to allow people to complete the program.
Yep.
So, like they were in control of when that Griffey was out in the wild, basically. Mm-hmm. So they're,
and they're going to be in, they're going to be in control of this as well.
Yeah,
because the way it looks like, some of these immortal programs are going to have dependencies from other programs that are not going to be out at launch. So we'll see how they play it by how they want these guys to come out. Well, I wonder. I mean, obviously, we have to get our hands on the game to see what it's going to take. I wonder if the roof would take, like, you need two other immortals to be done or something. Who knows?
That would seem like a lot. Yeah, that's the one thing I hope they don't do. I hope the immortals are independent of one another.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that if you have, say, two catchers or two first base immortals, that completing the career arcs for, say, a first base or a catcher will count towards both. But I really do hope the immortals are independent of one another. Like I said, I like the concept of, you know, the stacking programs and complete this program to complete that program. You know, and again, this is kind of building on what they did with the Griffey program last year, what they did with the Pepe Alizar program.
Let's never mention him again.
Yeah, which apparently is now a dirty word on Sony San Diego streams.
Yeah.
As evidenced by Luis's reaction when someone mentioned Pepe on this. But I'm okay with that. Like, again, like for me, I probably don't play as much MLB The Show Diamond Dynasty as other people do. I consider myself to be like an average user in terms of how much I play the mode. You know what? Like for me, like spending 5 to 6 months to grind out, you know, a Babe Ruth or a Vladdy Guerrero or a Ken Griffey, just like I'm invested in it. I'm okay with that. If it's something that I think I can achieve during the life cycle of the game, I'm okay with that, because as we're going to show later on in the stream how good these cards are, the reward is definitely worth the time you're going to put into it.
Yeah, like I definitely think day one of Diamond Dynasty, I'm going to go in here, and if the Chipper Jones one is not available yet, I'm going to go into all these other immortals, kind of figure out the lay of the land on all of them, and just start doing what I think will be needed for the Chipper Jones one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just going to start plowing straight into that.
Well, and they were pretty clear on how it was going to work, right? Like, you know, position similarity. So, I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, like if the Chipper Immortal is the one you're after, and all of a sudden they have a Josh Donaldson, you know, program come out, you could probably...
I'm definitely going to do it.
Yeah, you could probably look at it and be like, okay, well, this is probably going to be a requirement for the Chipper.
Or if there's any Braves players or other third basemen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like the structure. I worry that for some people it might end up being too much to try to get these immortals. Mm. The people who don't have the time to put... but. Right. Without knowing the exact lay of it, it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. A couple things they did mention was that the path to the immortals is going to be, again, like the Griffey. Was it the Griffey or the career one? Where you could get way over 100%.
Yeah, the dynasty program.
So it's, you're going to have different ways to go about these guys in case you don't want to do a certain guy. Or if you have one guy done already, you might be able to figure it out another way. Also, these cards will not be tradable. They won't be available in packs. They may or may not show up in Battle Royale. I think they're still trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see some of these attributes, and these cards are going to be pretty nasty. I'm kind of excited for this. Because what I wanted to mention was they did say that the majority, if not almost all, of the missions will be stuff that you're going to be able to do online or offline. I believe they said only extra innings, play a friend, and the casual ones, I believe. Those are the only ones that aren't going to keep your stats.
Yeah.
You won't be able to grind out against the Yetis. You won't be able to grind out against a friend. But again, you won't have to just go in there and play, you know, you shouldn't have to go in and play 7 games against the Reds to get a team epic unlocked or something.
I was kind of hoping, and maybe I missed it because I kind of blacked out for a few minutes in the middle of the stream, but I did notice at one point there was like a single player tab, but they didn't actually go into it and show what was in there, did they?
What do you mean?
Like on the Diamond Dynasty interface, there was a dedicated tab for single player. But I don't think they actually went in there to show like what, because they made it sound like when they were explaining the way the programs are going to work, they made it sound like they had more ways to play it in single player. Like, did you get that feeling that maybe, like, I felt like they were building up to, hey, like, we're going to have a cool new way to play single player. And I was thinking, well, maybe this is going to be like NHL does, where they have like the single player seasons where you can grind up. Yes. Seasons against, like, I kind of felt like that's where it was going, because they felt like they were hyping up single player and then they just never talked about it.
Yeah, they did. There was a tab for casual that they didn't really talk about, and they said there would be some scenario stuff in there, but they didn't really talk about what that was.
And yeah, I agree with Shuddy. He saw the tab and it's like they seem to intentionally avoid going to that tab. And again, maybe it was just, you know, the way it was and for timing and whatnot. But like when they were talking about the Immortals and the programs, they made it sound like there was going to be new ways to play single player. And they just never talked about it. So maybe it was just my interpretation of how the stream went. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, maybe they just when they reorganize the windows.
Yeah.
It'll be different. Because maybe that's where Extra Innings, Conquest, and Verse CPU are all hidden now. They're just hidden behind there, because the new menu system is essentially a complete rewrite from what it was this year.
So yeah.
That might be what it is, because if you go into the home / play menu now, there's a single player tab, and that's where Extra Innings, Conquest, versus CPU all reside now.
Yeah.
So that's probably what that would be like.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of menus, if this is what the program's menu is going to look like, that's 100 times more improved than what they had last year, because the program's menu last year was one of the slowest loading. And the thing is that where,
and also convoluted, like, because you could go into a mission and see the missions for the program, but then you actually couldn't get to the reward side of the program to do that part.
And where conceivably you're going to be working on a fistful of missions or a fistful of programs at a time, because you're going to be accumulating stats in various areas. Like, one thing that becomes a regular occurrence is when you're either logging into the game or you're done with the game, you have to go through and check all your programs and see, did I get this? Oh, did I get this? Oh, did I get this? And hopefully, like, it looks like it's going to be a lot more streamlined this year, which would be oh so helpful.
Yeah. And they said with the server rewrite, all these menus should be super fast and much better than they were the last couple of years.
So that would be nice.
We'll have to see how that works. Yeah. We will slowly creep into your favorite part, where we're going to talk about the Vladimir Guerrero that's coming up. So now there's going to be collector programs. So far, Vladimir Guerrero is the only one that we know gives you an immortal. Through this, they didn't really dive into this to see what it is. They said that the collections for teams is no longer going to be like collecting all the players for it, and they're going to be more stat based. So I wonder if that's going to be how that's going to play into this. We're still going to have to find out. And then obviously, when you finish this collection, you're going to get the 99 Vladimir Guerrero with their cool new art for these cards. It's got a little like a planetary universal look to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, because these cards should play out of this world. Hi-oh! So should we show the stats? Do you want to talk about the stats, or should we just we just skip over it?
Yeah, we can just, let's just,
nobody even cares. Here's my question for you. Knowing that Vlad went into the Hall of Fame as a angel, how happy are you that his immortal card is rocking an Expos jersey?
Very. Like, 1,000,000%.
Okay, that's what I assumed. I just wanted to verify.
I mean, I'm okay with it being in the game, period. But having the Expos card art is nice. The first thing I did when I saw the card, and they hadn't addressed it up until that point, was that the 125 didn't apply to every stat across the board. Because immediately when I saw the 99 arm strength, I almost threw my phone across the room, assuming that he got hosed. And then they addressed it, because everyone in the chat was like, oh my God, arm strike, that must not work. And then they addressed it immediately right afterwards. But yeah. this card is an absolute monster.
So let me talk about Immortals for a second. These cards aren't based on individual years like the other flashbacks and legends that we've seen. They're based off career highs in each category. So you can see here Vlad's power and speed come from his young Expo days, and his vision comes from his later time with the Angels, where he cut down on his strikeouts. You can also see the new shields in the top right that show his hitting and fielding. I don't really know how that works. So
yeah,
we'll not really talk about that. I don't know if those are going to be as helpful for you as the speed for the pitchers are. Maybe it will tell you if a guy's a trash fielder a little bit easier. But as you mentioned, only certain attributes can go to the new 125 cap. For hitters, those are contact, power, vision, discipline, and batting clutch. And then for pitchers, only stamina, the per nines, and pitching clutch can go past 99. So you said, arm strength, speed, fielding, that stuff is not going to be going over 99.
So how do you feel about the Immortals and this whole encompassing their entire career on one card?
I think that's pretty cool. It's kind of a flashback to the legends that we had a couple years ago, where there was usually only one, and they were like the supercharged version of them. I think it's a cool idea to do this. Obviously, you know, you're going to get other versions of these cards throughout the play, so I'm sure there'll be a rookie Vlad and Impact veteran Vlad and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, since these cards are going to be extremely hard to get, I think having them encompass everything from their career is a great tribute to them and a good way to do it.
And I also think it helps differentiate the Immortals from everybody else, which they spent a 90-minute stream trying to do that exact thing, was talk about the Immortals in a different light, and in a you know, that they're kind of a special thing that only special players are going to get, and it's going to be very, very hard to achieve. And so yeah, I'm okay with it too. And yeah, that is a great question. I believe they addressed it briefly.
You should say the question for those watching at home. But
that's true. People were wondering why the 82 fielding is a diamond when the diamond cutoff is 85.
I wonder if that's just a.
I believe someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think maybe Luis said they did it to show off the shield, like that was still something that they were trying to tweak.
And I think they were still tweaking some of these attributes too, so
yeah,
take all of this with a grain of salt.
And yeah, I don't think it ends up being that. In I think it was maybe just a quick copy and paste job to get the card ready for the stream. And that's something that they could possibly tweak between now and the 23rd.
Vladimir Guerrero, depending on how hard he is to get, gonna be kind of a beast card.
Probably impossible,
but only 90 power versus rarities. I mean, come on, is that even worth playing with?
I mean, with 101 vision, probably. Yeah,
excellent segue that you didn't even know you were doing. This is why I love working with you, Snaggle J. Let's talk about a little PCI and how it works with the legends slash flashbacks. PCI in MLB 18 is now going to be an aggregate of the contact and plate vision attributes. It's going to be 50-50. So in theory, if you have 70 contact and 90 plate vision, or 90 contact and 70 plate vision, you're going to have the same size PCI. Last year, power also played into that, but not this year. Using our beautiful page that they gave us from the other stream, and now they re-showed us here, with the 125. So this is essentially how it's going to work for guys that have 99s. But people that have 125 in their ratings, their green, like specifically the dark green PCIs, are going to be bigger, and everything's just going to spread out a little bit more. So if you're power hitter, line drives and medium flies are going to be dark green. They're going to be hit real hard and go real far. And this is the stuff that's going to help people like Tony Gwynn, who's going to be an average power guy, but that line drive area is going to be a little bit bigger, which is also going to push into the medium flies and the hard grounders. And he's going to be hitting a lot better and hopefully making those good contact guys much better this year.
Yeah. And I agree 100% with taking power out of the PCI size equation. Mm-hmm. PCI 100. Should only be based on contact and vision, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you do with the ball when you connect with it is what the power setting dictates. Or the power attribute dictates. You shouldn't have a less chance connecting with the baseball because of your power attribute. You know, that, like, again, like Joey Gallo is a good example because the guy strikes out a ton, but he shouldn't be penalized in his PCI area because of his power. His contact and his vision is what's going to dictate that. Like, so I am happy to see that, you know, that they've used the proper attributes for determining PCI size and then letting the power attribute dictating what it should. And that's the, you know, velocity at which you hit the baseball.
And as you can see, we have weak, average, and power. And if you don't know what your hitter is, if you're using the new dynamic PCI, there will be a line across the bottom or around the bottom, like the bottom of the PCI will be highlighted for weak hitters. The whole circle around the PCI will be highlighted for average hitters, and the top half of the PCI will be highlighted for power hitters. And again, with all these ratings, they can also be shrunk by the opponent pitcher that you're facing's hits per nine rating, so they can pull that down against you.
Yep.
Let's check out, speaking of a pitcher that's going to have a high hits per nine rating, let's check out the Bob Gibson immortal attributes here. So for pitchers, as we said, with regular immortals, it's going to be a mix of all their best years. For pitchers, it's going to be a mix of all their best years as well, and also their best pitches from those years. So 97 mile per hour fastball, that was his fastest fastball he had in his career. 86 mile per hour changeup, that was the slowest his changeup was. I feel like he probably threw a slower one, but probably his most effective changeup was at 86 miles per hour. But four seamer, slider, sinker, curveball, change, that's a hell of a pitch mix. 123 stamina, pretty good. 99 hits per nine, 99 Ks per nine. And his pitch and clutch is 118, which should also be pretty good. Also 89 fielding. Let's go.
Yeah, solid. Very, very solid card. I really like the pitch mix. The pitch mix is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure all the Bob Gibsons are going to be good, but this one's going to be lights out.
Yeah, I don't think you could have a bad Bob Gibson card.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the 123 stamina is going to be interesting to come into play. I mean, if you're still going to have this guy out there gassing people in the eighth and ninth inning of ball games, I mean, this card could be like literally a game changer.
Mm-hmm. He's your starter. He's your middle relief, and he's going to be your closer all shot. Yep. Great thing I learned today, which I didn't know. As you know, I consider Adam Wainwright on my all-time Braves team because he was in the minor leagues with them. Did you know in like 1983, Bob Gibson was the pitching coach for the Braves? Bob Gibson, welcome to my future all Braves team. I'm excited.
And I did know that. And you know how I know that?
How'd you know that?
Because I follow you on Twitter.
You follow me on Twitter at thatsportsgamer.com. I highly implore everyone else to do that as well. Yeah. And then while you're over there, you might as well give Snagglejay some love too.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Also, don't forget, Babe Ruth also played for the Braves when they were the Boston Braves. Boston? Yeah, they were still in Boston. So I will also be adding him to my all-time Braves team, as well as, obviously, the immortal Chipper Jones. Two guys that won't be on my all-time Braves team. Albert Bell, who we saw in the GameStop Monday video, was added to MLB The Show. They officially announced him today. Also, Mike Piazza. Are you excited for these guys?
Piazza, yes. I mean, Albert Bell.
I would be more excited for Albert Bell if they had player collision and he could truck a second baseman like he trucked Fernando Vigna.
Yes. I always forget if that was Fernando Vigna or Pat Listash, but
I think it was Fernando Vigna.
I think it was Fernando Vigna, but Piazza I like because, you know, sometimes like to have another top tier catcher so that I'm not always using Yadier Molina.
And one that can hit. Yeah, one that can hit like that, too.
So. Yeah, like Piazza kind of changes the whole dynamic of the catcher position, depending on what cards we're going to see of him. Like, I feel like Albert Bell just ends up being white noise. You know, he's going to be a very high-power guy. Yeah, he's another corner outfielder with fielding and lots of power.
Yeah,
he's basically Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz, a Stanton, a Judge.
Yeah,
got those.
Yeah.
Do you think we haven't had one mentioned yet? Do you think Piazza would be an immortal legend?
I mean,
I feel like they're gonna do like Jim. They're gonna do like Johnny Bench, and I'm gonna not be excited about
it. I feel like probably it's Piazza.
I feel like Piazza's got to be one.
People are holding out hope that it's going to be Pudge.
Yeah, I feel like by now they would have mentioned something. Right? Because Pudge ain't even in the game, so.
True.
I feel like we would have known. I feel like they would have mentioned Pudge by now. Same I feel with like Jim they would have. I thought we were going to hear Jim Tomei a couple weeks ago. But.
Yeah,
I'm gonna err on the side of them both not being in the game this year.
I mean, I can't think of any catcher that's currently in the game.
I mean, unless they wanted to do Berra or Bench, which I could see them doing, but I wouldn't want them to do.
Berra, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a strong possibility. I don't think they would go like Carlton Fisk. I think that's probably...
I don't know if he has the stuff to get
there.
Well, look, the 1970 Johnny Bench in the show has 97 contact versus lefties, 94 power versus righties, 99 power versus lefties, 92 arm, 92 fielding. I could see them doing him easily. I think if there's anybody that's in it right now, that would probably be the one you do.
Yeah. I feel like it probably ends up being Piazza.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Where are we? Also, we will hear about the Bell and Piazza ratings in the March 8th Road to the Show stream.
There you go.
On Thursday. Back to Thursdays for next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked a little bit more about Immortal programs. Lots of missions, and it's going to look at your overall progress. Again, by completing other missions and stuff, we'll play into it. Some are going to be position-specific. So if you see, there's Jackie Robinson here, who is a second baseman. And if you want to complete him, you're going to have to complete the career arcs for second baseman. But if you look at the career arcs they've shown off already, there haven't been any second baseman yet. So that's going to be one of those ways they're going to be able to gate some of the stuff from getting out earlier than they want to. They said Griffey wouldn't be ready to go till the All-Star break. But I would assume they knew that people had everything done for Griffey except for having that one card on the ticket counter. And they put that out anyway.
Yeah.
As we said, immortals have to be earned. They won't be in packs and they won't be sellable. And they also said that the best cards will always be earned and they will never be in packs or sellable, which makes me hope they've updated the Show Nation to be able to show these cards. Because last year, the Show Nation only was able to show cards that were on the marketplace. So I would love to see these cards so I know if they're worth getting.
Yeah, if you're going to be worth getting, if you're going to give us a database, please give us an actual database and not, some half-assed API that you pull out of your computer.
Yeah. So again, as I said, they're going to require some of the other career stuff to be done. So looks like there's going to be some position specific programs that'll feed into the career arcs, that'll feed into the immortals. Immortals may or may not be playable in Battle Royale, as I said before, but it's still being discussed. Immortals look cool. I'm very excited to not successfully get any of them, as I did with the Griffey.
You're gonna get that chipper.
Yeah, I never got. Well, yeah. Here's the thing that pissed me off was they put the other chipper, the chipper that I would have wanted, they put behind Pepe. And then I was like, well, that's never going to happen, so I'm never going to even get it. I have the rookie chipper this year, and that's it. But based on what we've seen of Immortals, I feel like I will be more excited to do them. Like, I was excited to do the Ken Griffey Jr. program prior to the game coming out. But then the second that they showed off that he had, like, 70 contact versus... What was it? He had, like, 70 in one of his... Was it in a power rating? I feel like it was like 70 power versus righties or 70 power versus lefties or something. I was like, yeah, that's just not going to cut it for me, you know? So I just never really went after it here.
Yeah. I feel like these immortals are,
he had 70 contact versus lefties. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's kind of wild. Especially because the other 99 they put out had 82 contact, actually had 82 contact and more vision and more and more speed. So actually, the card that you got from the program, just looking at like the top level stuff they show you in the inventory, I would say is arguably better than the one that you could get from doing the program.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, well, that's my thing is I feel like I'm a big fan of the Immortals. I think again, if it's going to take you a 4 to 6 month grind to get a card, I'm okay with that. I'm okay, with this reward. Like if it takes me 6 months to get that Vladdy card, mm-hmm. I feel like it's going to be worth it. Like, yeah, like the Griffey was like,
Let me say one thing I hope they do with these Immortal programs that would be kind of nice that they didn't do last year, and I would hope maybe they do this year. For stuff where they have like those crazy stat requirements, I would like them to track what I've done prior to that program launching. I think that would be nice. So maybe like if, let's say when they put out the Chipper Jones things, one of the things is like play 1,000 innings with Braves players. I don't want to have to play 1,000 innings with Braves players once that Chipper Jones card comes out. I want it to be, I've already played 400 innings with Braves players. I want that to go towards what's going on in that Chipper Jones thing. Because I felt like there was a lot of programs and stuff that came out that had they been tracking the stats from the beginning of the game, they would have been easy. But now they want me to go back and do stuff with guys that I wasn't going to use anyway. And I'm not really going to use now to go do this program for a card I maybe don't really even want that much. So maybe if they track some of that stuff from earlier, rather than like from that release going forward, maybe it would help people complete more programs and stuff. But
yeah, that's never going to happen.
I know. Well, maybe they'll make these stats ridiculous to get now. So
yeah.
But yeah. Like what was it in like 16? Some of them were like play 1400 innings with Mets players, or no, it was like Rays players. It's like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm just not gonna do that.
Yeah, I'm just no.
Yeah. Some stuff we can bang through quick. Quirks return. Essentially the same as in 17. Legends are still gonna have quirks, but they're only gonna be the passive ones that just tell you essentially what their ratings are. They're not gonna be active ones that mess with the PCI like the live series players will get. Your thoughts
awesome.
On quirks?
Nothing. Austin Barnes hype.
Yeah, Austin Barnes, go for it. Yeah. How is he a 77 overall when his hitting's a 60 and his fielding's a 68? He must be a great base runner. Well, he does have 56 speed, so that's probably going to help.
Yeah.
54 speed. I was wrong. Speed. Speed has been completely rewritten. It used to be a combination of things like steals, triples, and stolen base percentage. Now it's going to come from advanced data from the MLB. And now JT Realmuto, 76 speed as a catcher in MLB. That's pretty cool. I like to do this, that they're doing this now. I want to say a couple years ago, in the MLS All-Star game, they made their jerseys specifically to have like a little thing in them that could like track the player's speed. And like, so you can get their breakaway speed and how far they've ran through the game. I think all that information is super cool. And if MLB has stuff like that, like the real MLB has it, that they can put into the game, I think that's also extra awesome. So like now that we have like real people's bat speeds, they could use that to put into their power numbers or something. I think that would be awesome.
I think as Sabermetrics takes a leap forward, I think that the fact that that's all cataloged and databased can only help the game, by them being able to translate that real world data like speed, time around the bases, whatnot, to translate that into actual video game related statistics.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even notice until Shreddy mentioned it in the chat. This Austin Barnes has 101 discipline.
Yeah.
That seems like a very high number.
So they said
that some live series players will get the 100, the over 99 ratings, but they'll be very, very rare.
Okay.
So I was actually very surprised to see it. This must be just a typo or something, or they were just playing around with something. Cause in 17, he has 44 discipline.
Well, I can tell you he had a 408 on base percentage last year, and only struck out 43 times in 218 at bats, which is pretty high.
That's a lot. That's like 25%.
That's a lot. But he did have a 408 on base percentage.
Yeah.
So you know, plus over 400 on base percentage. Well,
His contact versus righties is 25 points higher.
Yeah.
Well,
he did hit 289.
Yeah.
101, maybe a bit high.
Just a tad.
But again, you know, 408 on base. 408 on base percentage is not anything. You know, it's not nothing.
So it's funny they showed him, because I guess with the real data, he's actually slower, because last year he was 66 speed.
There you go.
And again, the while the overall tiers have changed, the actual attributes in the game have not changed. So again, if someone had 66 speed last year, the ones that are go to 125, or I guess all of them, like an 87 contact last year and an 87 contact this year are the same. A 99 last year and a 99 this year are the same.
Yeah.
So he actually got 12 points slower based on their new thing.
Way to go, Austin Barnes.
Speaking of speed, they talk about a whole bunch of stuff. They did a complete server code rewrite, which you can tell from the faster menu speed that we saw here. Again, there's probably 12 people on those servers right now, so we're going to have to see how that plays out when the game actually comes out. Game processing should be quicker, so no more getting stuff sent to queue, hopefully. And now with the way they've redone it, they're going to have more visibility to issues for a quicker turnaround time to fix them, which all sounds great.
Yep. Sounds wonderful.
Those are a lot of words right now. We have to see what happens on the 23rd and then the 27th on the first pitch weekend and then the actual release of the game.
Yeah.
I hope what they're saying is right, and I'm excited if it is. We really have to see those in action.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's all just words at this point. If it translates into the thing is the server bar for MLB The Show is so low right now.
Mm-hmm. It's actually getting better. Because like 2 years ago, they were straight garbage and it wasn't even, or 3 years ago, it was straight garbage and it wasn't even worth playing. 2 years ago, it got better. Last year, I think last year was better than 2 years ago, but I think people don't remember 2 years ago.
Yeah. Two years ago was really bad.
Yeah. Last year, it got better. So hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully with this it's way better.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, at this point, people would be ecstatic with functional. Being able to play a game.
If I can play games that first week, I will be very, very happy.
Yeah.
If I do not have to play Conquest the first 2 weeks like I did last year, that would be great.
So yeah, the bar for them to clear for most people is quite low.
Mm-hmm. But getting higher every year. I will admit it's getting higher every year. Yeah. And I think, 14 you couldn't load into a game. 15 I think was like real bad. Like I remember when we were doing the Press Row podcast, like Game of the Year stuff, I'd be like, yes, MLB The Show is the best game out there. And that is with the caveat that you cannot play that game online. They have a mode. They have online modes that you could not play. But yeah. The game was still so good that I was still giving it the Game of the Year award.
And I feel like they would not have even mentioned the servers at all if they didn't have a positive outlook on thinking that, okay, you know, again, the alpha was a very small sample size, but that's still data for them to, you know, go back and say, okay, this is where it worked. This is where it didn't work. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think high hopes might be a bit strong, but I feel positively on the outlook of the servers for this, the first 7 days of the game.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how that is. B Hazelwood in the chat says that if it's true that all programs can be done offline, that should alleviate issues. So it looks like they will be able, you will be able to do them in other things other than just like straight head to heads. But again, you're still technically online. You're still hitting those servers. You're still getting games sent to, theoretically, they shouldn't get sent to the queue. They should be processed fast now. Yeah. But that stuff's all still happening.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to be able to be signed off, play stuff, and then get your credit.
Yeah. How many of us played a game against the CPU where you had 25 runs, 75 hits, and had, you know, 30 strikeouts, and you lost it all? because it just disappeared when the game was done.
It went to the queue and never came
and
back.
And never came back. That happened a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Playing offline is not, you know, that's not a saving grace in any way.
It probably helps a little bit. Yeah. I wonder if those are even the same servers, though. Like, online gameplay servers for just being on Diamond Dynasty, I wonder if those are different.
Yeah.
I don't know how servers work, so.
Me neither.
Can't tell you. You mentioned the alpha. People that were in the alpha will receive a gold live series player. So you got that going for you. You'll get an 80 to 84 player there. Let's talk a little bit more about programs. Here you can see the... what is his first name? Is it Kenny's Vargas?
Yeah.
Programs. Also, you notice in this picture, sideways cards have now finally made their... Diamond Dynasty debut.
I love that they're not actually in landscape view. Like, they're still portrait view. So you got to tilt your head. Like, that's dumb to me.
True. But as I think it was Lewis who mentioned it, when you collect baseball cards and you have a binder, they're top loading like that. So that's how you're going to see those cards.
Yeah. So
I thought that was...
That's fair. That's a good...
I like the idea.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. So I like it. I can't hate against it. Program, same as last year. As we said, all the missions are now going to be behind programs. There's not going to be any just random missions out there. Aside from the dailies, which will still be around. Those will just be individual ones. But we'll talk about those again in a little bit. As you can see here, rather than for a lot of the programs, rather than 100% completion being the player card, now the player card will show up somewhere earlier than 100%, and then you're gonna have to use that card to reach the full 100% and get the program reward collectible. The Vargas 2014 flashback at 50% is gonna be the best Vargas that you get from this, and you'll have to use him to finish 75% and get 100% to get that program reward, which he's a first baseman, will probably play into the first baseman career arc for maybe Frank Thomas, which will play into the first baseman for the Immortal. So,
yeah,
you're definitely going to want to, when you get those cards, you're definitely going to try to finish out that program 100% to get credit for it later on down the road.
Yep.
What else? So if I want to work on my all-time Braves team, get Billy Wagner, I'm going to have to do the closer player stuff. You get those closers, use those closers to get the program rewards, then go into the career arcs, do that stuff, get those cards, get the reward there, and put those in. Let's see. Here's an example of some program missions. I'm wondering if these are the position ones. They had like four or five for each, depending on the position. So for this Vargas, it looks like there's four. Three of them are exchange missions, and one is the stat mission with that card. So they said the position ones, like the individual ones, should only take you like a game or two to do. So that should be good. Are you excited for that?
I don't like the prospect of having to get two hits, a double, and two RBIs with a 71 bronze in the same game.
True.
But...
Yeah, you could do it in... maybe you get lucky in... what's the name of that thing? In Conquest. Maybe.
Well, and the thing is, like I'm okay with these bronze and silver missions. And they did say, you know, that like the positional missions right now are mostly like bronze, but mm-hmm. they do have plans on doing silver missions and gold missions and eventually doing diamond missions.
And so I assume that's the kind of stuff that when there's going to be multiple paths to getting your immortal, like if you do the gold first baseman missions, you're going to get more credit for that with the program reward than you will for doing like the silver mission.
And that's the thing. Like, I'm okay with doing a Kenny's Vargas 71 bronze program. Mm-hmm. If it's building towards something else,
right?
Like, that's the thing. It's not just, and again, like last year, you know, when they had like the rookie programs and the veteran programs, like, yes, those did go towards your dynasty program, But like, I didn't feel like that was as impactful because literally the Dynasty program had like 370%. Like, so like, I didn't feel like there was any urgency or anything there. Like, again, where these might build towards a very specific reward, like, you know, first baseman building towards first baseman and second baseman towards second baseman and so on. I feel like that has more choice and more impact and a little more importance behind it. Yep. Than just saying, hey, do this and we'll give you a bunch of percent towards this.
Yeah. And the thing with the way it was last year was some of that stuff was so long that it was just like, I'm not even going to bother. And I felt like I wasn't getting rewarded enough throughout that whole process. And now you're going to be able to get more stuff as you're going.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff that you're going to be getting, let's take a look at the Team Epics. So now there's going to be... the Team Epics are no longer going to be the collect 15, collect 20, or the collect 25 and collect the whole teams. They're going to just be, essentially, you're going to have to play with the players from those teams and do missions. They didn't actually show you the missions for it, but they did show you some of the rewards. So you can see you're going to be getting stuff like the jerseys. This is also where the nameplates are going to be and stuff like that. Yeah, so you're gonna need to collect, you're gonna need to play with teams players and collect stats with them,
which, yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah,
because like, you were never gonna do the Angels team epic because you were never gonna get Mike Trout, and you were so I like that they changed that. I think that's a better way to handle that, and it'll get some more players.
I'm a huge fan of them moving away from doing team collections. Like, I really, really am.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Because I never did them beyond, I think the most expensive one I probably did last year was the Rangers collection.
Probably the Rangers,
to get Buddy Bell, and then Buddy Bell literally never left my lineup for the rest of the season.
Still in mine today.
Yeah, he's still in mine too. I got to go back and do like a breakdown of Buddy Bell's 2017 stats for my Twitter. But
I wonder if my Buddy Bell was better than your Buddy Bell.
I'm a huge, not likely. Well, maybe.
You win all your CPU games, probably.
Easy. But yeah, I wasn't a huge, I like them moving away from collections.
Yeah. Yeah, and as Cardinals Red 24 says, a less reliance on packs.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, so all these new souvenirs, let's talk about them a little bit. As you can see here, jerseys, bobbleheads. These things are going to be needed to complete certain missions, so you're definitely going to want to be gathering those as you go along. There's going to be jerseys, hats, bobbleheads, autographed baseballs, and autographed bats. And if you weren't paying attention, the jerseys are just collectibles, not going to be like in Madden where you can actually wear them.
Boo.
Yeah. And then you can throw some of this stuff into the exchange, where you're going to be able to get better items. I think they showed one where it's like, if you do a bunch of Nationals collectible souvenirs, you can get like the Nationals red. I think it's the 4th of July hat where it has the red, white, and blue logo.
Yeah.
And then there's also stuff. There's going to be programs for all of them, for bobblehead, jerseys, hats, and all that stuff. And the rewards in the collector programs will be specific to the collector program, so you're not going to be able to find those cards anywhere else. They didn't say who the collector, the bobblehead collector program reward was going to be.
No, they didn't say.
But theoretically, these programs are probably going to be fairly difficult, I would assume, because I think they're going to have, it looked like they were having like different tiered equipment and stuff. So essentially, it's going to be like the equipment and stuff from last year. Right. Now there's just more of that. Hopefully it doesn't just like gum up the packs, but they did say a lot of it's going to be, you're going to get a lot of the stuff through rewards. But the idea was that, these are extra rewards on top of the rewards you were already going to get in 17. So it's just more extra stuff that you're going to get to be going towards all this other stuff, and not taking away from cards or stubs that you're going to get, in last year's setup.
Yeah. I get the idea of them not wanting you to use the jerseys and the hats, because again, Diamond Dynasty is kind of your own team, but I really wanted to be able, like the hats especially, I just thought it would have been kind of cool. Like I don't like the idea of just giving me something to trade in for the sake of giving me something to trade in.
Right. I do, like, wish there was something.
Yeah. I mean, the collectible rewards can't really be that good. I mean, like, I don't expect people to be getting diamonds out of them.
But I mean, it depends on how hard they're going to. Because, I mean, some of the collection rewards that had diamond equipment and stuff in them last year, they were they ended up being quite expensive. So,
yeah.
They could end up being very good rewards, but they're also going to end up being very hard to get.
And I just feel like, again, this is just, hey, here's something to add on to something that you could turn into something. I don't know.
But hey, maybe now that they have this, I won't have, 9,000 minor league stadium thing. Maybe it'll take up one of those slots, hopefully. As long as it doesn't take up a player card in the slot. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we'll see. Again, this is all stuff that we're going to have to see how it plays out when we actually get it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about career arcs. So these are essentially digitally, one step below the Immortals. And in the game, they are also one step below Immortals. So let's look at Larry Doby's career arc specifically. You'll notice that for him, the first step is actually just redeeming the Larry Doby card that you're going to need to use to gather stats, to unlock the higher percentage, to unlock the next card, to unlock that you're going to use to gather stats with, to unlock the next one, and so on and so on. I believe they only showed that this one was the one that you'll get the Larry Doby for free. Like the Frank Thomas one, they don't show getting that first Frank Thomas for free. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 25% into it. So I guess the other ones will have stuff that you need to do prior to getting into it. So I guess, again, maybe that Frank Thomas to get to 25, it's do first baseman ones to get there.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that is. Again, here, you'll notice that I don't have the right screen. I don't have the screenshot of it, but actually, yeah, I do. Here, you'll notice that at 75%, you get the 90 overall Larry Doby. And that's going to be the highest one. But then at 100%, you're going to get the program reward. And to bridge that gap, you're going to have to get stats with that 90 Larry Doby to get there.
I like the Larry Doby program. I like the look of it. I think it's going to be cool.
And I assume these guys are all going to be very good players that you're going to want to be using to accumulate those stats.
Yeah.
And not just throwaway players. Like I felt like some of the flashbacks last year were kind of throwaway. Like, oh, there's a rookie version of this guy that you don't actually ever want to use.
Yeah.
So as long as these guys are good and worth playing with, I think they'll be used a ton.
Yeah.
Speaking of packs, like we talked about before, standard packs are going to return. And they made a big emphasis that packs aren't going to be needed for completing programs and missions. I don't understand, because it made it sound like they don't want you really buying packs.
Then get rid of them.
Like, yeah.
that was a confusing part of the stream for me, because it's like they went out of their way to be like, hey, you don't need to buy packs to build a competitive DD team. Hey, so you don't need to buy packs to get the best cards. Hey, you just need to play the game. So it's like, okay.
But
so
yes, if you buy packs, you're still going to have a stacked team probably faster to do all this other stuff, I would assume. But
like,
that helps them make money when you're buying subs to buy packs.
Yeah. And I feel like I get the intention behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they were trying to show people that they could play the game without buying packs. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big thing, because a lot of people that play Ultimate Teams and 2K is my team and stuff, I feel like those really put an emphasis on, they're putting out new packs all the time. You need to go buy these new packs to get these great players.
Yeah.
And I feel like even last year, MLB did a great job of, you can earn these players and you don't need to buy packs. I don't know if they needed to throw, I don't need to say, I don't think I needed to have them actually say it. But I should have mentioned, maybe they just wanted to throw shade at EA. Which is kind of what a lot of the beginning of the stream sounded like, but
yes, I feel like at this juncture of the stream, if they were trying to throw shade at EA, it backfired for me.
Yeah,
because I am someone who spends additional money in this mode. I don't just play it.
Oh, day one, fat stacks going in.
Let's go. I typically make a, let's say plus or minus a $200 investment outside of the game every summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like, and now I'm thinking I'm going to do that the first week, build up the stockpile, and then maybe I never have to spend any more money in it.
Yeah. Like I just, that couple of minutes of the stream for me came off really the wrong way. And it just made, like, it totally made it sound like, again, I get it. You're trying to get your casual fan out there to realize you don't need to spend extra money to compete with the top tier guys who have the top tier lineups. You just need the skill and the time. But like, they kept repeating it and kept repeating it. And it's like, okay, at this point, it's like, well, are you going to take packs out of the damn game? Because that's what you're trying to make it sound like.
And that, it essentially sounds like they're going to be like,
buying them anymore.
And it sounds like, hey, packs are going to be trash, but that's because you don't need to buy them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, then I'm not going to buy them.
Yeah.
So
I'm not going to buy, I'm going to buy a fat stack of stubs, and then I'm going to just buy players off the market.
I'm going to go get my Mike Trout and hold it there.
Yeah, I'm going to get Mike Trout, first card, first one up day one, and that's it.
No, the answer is Freddie Freeman. Going to be the first pickup, and then
we're good. There you go.
Should still be a diamond with the new ratings, I'm hoping. So.
I would say probably.
Then we talk about everybody's favorite thing. The created player is back. The crowd goes wild. So, good things. They're no longer going to be the super crazy superhumans that they are in this year. It's going to be based on archetypes with strengths and weaknesses. Hitters are typically going to be either power, contact, balance, speed, or fielding. And those aren't the only ones, but those are the most common archetypes they're going to have. And they vary by position. So for catcher, there's no speed archetype. Pitchers can have break, velocity, and control, which will have higher ratings in hits per nine, Ks per nine, and walks per nine, respectively. And you can do all these cap programs, but you still only have one cap that you can use in the game. So I'm very excited. Let me just read all this, and then we can discuss.
Yeah.
So you get your cap at 10%. So this is the catcher created player version. You unlock him by doing 10% of the missions, probably just stat missions. Maybe these will even be the catcher position specific programs. Who knows? You use that 70 overall catcher, do some stuff with him, get the 75, do some stuff with him, get the 78, and you move your way up. Then as you go up, you will have create a player decision tokens. So once you get to the 75% reward, that's where you're going to start making some decisions about these archetypes that you're going to want to go to. So the first one is deciding if you want to go to if you want to be a power focus, or specifically for this catcher, if you want to focus on power or if you want to focus on contact. If you focus on power, you'll have like mid-60s contact and mid-80s power. And then you flip it around, you'll have 80s contact and high 50s power if you want the contact focus. Then the next step, you'll have to choose between power, which will give you 90s power and 70s contact. Or you can go to a balanced guy who's going to have, you know, 80s for contact, 70s for power. Or you can do a contact guy who's going to have 90s for contact and high 50s for power. Caps will max. They say caps will max out at 89 overall. And once you make your decision to go down one of these paths, you can't go back. So like, you can't have. What was I trying to think? You can't do the, if you go contact focus, when you get to your next set of choices, it's only going to be either balanced or contact. You will not have the power focus option there. And also, you'll still be able to apply equipment to these guys that will push them over the 99 in the uncapped attributes. Also, caps will not have a secondary position. Anything you want to say about caps, other than I kind of like this way.
I am historically anti-cap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's anything that someone could call into question. I don't hate this. I think it's interesting that they decided to put a cap on the cap and
cap on caps, caps on caps on caps on caps,
and give it restrictions and make it stats based and not feed based.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like what they've done. Will this make me use my cap? I hard to say.
Oh, still going to use him because I'm sure he will still be very good options at certain positions.
I feel like I just never used my cap because I didn't see the purpose. I enjoyed using cards of actual players. Mm-hmm. The only time I used my cap was later in the season when I was doing like an all-time Blue Jays and I wanted to have Pat Borders as my catcher.
Mm. So would you name him Pat Borders? Made him a switch hitting center fielder.
Yes. No, I didn't.
What did I see? I saw Manny Ramirez was a switch hitting shortstop yesterday from someone's picture.
It's foolish. But like this with these kind of restrictions and it being stat based,
mm-hmm.
I could see me using my cap because then it's more like progression based. Like you're mm-hmm. invested in your cap, not just like, hey, right. I'm going to feed all my unused gold, silvers, bronze, and commons to my cap and make him a 99 everything and play him at second base. And he hits 40 jacks every three games.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, as B. Hazelwood says, he thinks this is a good compromise if you want to keep them. I think at some point this was my suggestion to do when I, in one of my emails to them, was that they should have it. Like, you get the, my suggestion was like, you say you want your cap to be like Freddie Freeman and you could be Freddie. You could essentially make your guy into Freddie Freeman or a little bit better than him, but also have the strengths and weaknesses of a Freddie Freeman. Or you have like a Brandon Belt who has good contact and good power, but not great at either one. Or you can make a guy that's a very good contact first baseman. So essentially what they did is kind of what I was asking for. So I'm actually very happy about this.
Yeah.
The way they did this. The only thing that we'll talk about in a minute that I didn't like, when you do the create a player, he looks the same for all of them. So I wonder how that's going to work. Like if your created player is left-handed and you use him as a right fielder, then the next game you're like, you know what? I actually did build up the catcher to be better. Let me use that one. Is he just going to switch to right-handed? Like a right-handed throwing?
Right.
So. And yeah, once you go down these paths, you cannot go back. So if you build your guy as a power guy and you're like, actually I want him to be defensive, you can't, or I want him to be a contact guy, you don't really have that option.
Yeah, I wish that you could have paid like X amount of stubs and, you know, reverted like 10K or something.
Yeah.
You know, and go back to like square one. But or I wish they would have said, hey, you can go back, but you start over with zero progress and you're a bronze again.
Right. Yeah, and so also it's going to look like, I think it's going to look like when you're in your like lineup selection screen, you're going to see the cap card on each page or for each position. It's not just going to be the one that you take and then you go select which position you want them to play.
Okay.
So I think you're going to have the multiple cards
to go
through.
Right.
But yeah, you also, I mean, we're talking these decisions are, you know, power, balance, and focus. But also when that stuff changes, when you look at the different ones, also you'll notice that the defensive stuff changes. Like if you are a balanced focused catcher in decision two, you're going to have better arm strength than if you're a contact focused catcher.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're a power focused catcher, you're going to have 90 arms. But if you're only contact, you're going to have 84 arm strength. And if you're it's 77. So, yeah, like you would think maybe a light hitting catcher would be better defensively.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, actually, well, yeah, it is weird because the reaction goes the opposite way. So if you're the good power hitter, you have 65 reaction. But if you're the balanced hitter, you have 78 reaction. And if you're contact, you have 86 reaction.
Where's my Eduardo Perez archetype?
Just awesome. Just give him an ace and work your way.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So I think cap's going to be a very interesting thing and see how people use them this year. I'll probably build mine as a second baseman. That seems to work. There don't seem to be any that are like crazy.
Yeah.
Or defensive shortstop, like balls on base. So I think a defensive shortstop cap would probably be pretty good. assuming that shortstops are going to be super overpriced because there's going to be so many good ones this year.
Yeah.
Next up, the ticket counter. No, this is just the catcher. Catcher's name was Stream is Lit. Also, this stream lit. Let's go.
This stream is very lit.
Ticket counter, pretty much the same as 17. Those cards are going to be specific to the ticket counter. Yeah, it's going to use your universal profile to determine what's unlocked and what's not unlocked. Customized player, again, pretty much the same as last year. You're going to be able to use the batting stance creator. And as I said, you're going to customize one player, and that's going to be your guy for all the different positions. So if you have, if your right fielder is a speedy defensive right fielder, and you want to make him look like Ichiro, then you flip him to be your power hitting catcher. He's still going to be swinging like Ichiro. Nice. Which I kind of wish they would break that out. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah.
Let's see. They've also added more home run animations. All the ones that they had in the Judge bat flip competition, they just threw them all in. So lots of new home run animations for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Customizable team. Still no ability to bring over your 17 logos. But I think that sounds like the problem is like they're adding a whole bunch of layers and stuff. So that stuff doesn't really translate well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy that, but whatever. New stuff. Now you can do like different colors on the back of the jersey, as you can see here. What else we got here? Side colors, like, you know, in like the batting practice jerseys, how they have like the white down your side. They got that. New piping styles, striping styles, shoulder styles, socks, etc. They said they took elements from all the jerseys in the game, and now you can customize them like that. I feel like a lot of the stuff is like the things that the like, if you look at those Diamondbacks jerseys from the last couple of years, like all that random stuff they've done to those jerseys, that seems like all stuff that you can do now. Like when they have like the shoulder that like kind of goes out a little bit, but then doesn't actually go down the sleeve.
Yeah.
All that stuff seems to be in there now.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Like I enjoy that kind of stuff, right? Like I do enjoy, and I know you enjoy it too. Like the time spent getting your uniforms and stuff, you know, up to an acceptable Diamond Dynasty level. And again, I like to see improvements there. Like it goes back to the whole theme that you get every year is that Diamond Dynasty is like your unique way to build your, you know, dream team of baseball and allowing you to, you know, edit the uniforms a little further. Wouldn't it be great if they could take this uniform editor and eventually pop it into franchise for a relocated team? But that's, you know, different discussion for a different day.
We can hope. Now your logos can have a shiny or a matte finish, which I don't really show off well in this picture, but we got that. What else? There are now 10 different name and number fonts. I believe there used to be 2.
Excellent.
Now there's 10, so I'm excited for that. You can now have 2-color helmets, which, again, was this the thing that the Diamondbacks started doing? I feel like maybe it was. Diamondbacks just doing crazy stuff out here. Also, the logos you can do on the helmet with a shiny or matte finish, if you want to do that stuff. They've also added 60 new pre-made logos, including one that says players. I'm going to attempt to make a bullpen banter logo. I'm going to fail at it. And then I might be going to have King of Hearts or Jay Geese probably just make one. And then I will share it with the community. So if you want to have a bullpen banter logo on your jersey, be ready, because that's going to be a thing this year. Are you ready? Are you going to wear a bullpen banter jersey, Michael Joe? I hope you do understand that you are now obliged under contract to wear a bullpen banter jersey.
It's probably not gonna happen.
But with Blue Jays colors.
Okay.
Red, white, and Blue Jays.
Okay.
See?
It's mildly appealing now.
See? I'm already thinking about what my jerseys look.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for weeks.
Yeah. I don't know if we're gonna stick with orange. Maybe we're gonna go red. I don't know.
Yeah. I was a huge fan of my Extra Life inspired uniforms last year. The powder blue Extra Life uniforms.
Oh, there are those powder blue Braves ones. Is that the one I retweeted saying that I wanted?
Yeah, it was. Mm. Yeah.
That might be a jersey.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got here? Frank Thomas's career arc. They showed that off. Unlock the 25% is you get the rookie card. Tragically, they used the version of the rookie with his name on the card, which I think was a bad move.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I tweeted out about that, someone was like, oh, I just found out I have the no name version and I now have like $400.
Sweet.
I don't know how much that card goes for. $400, probably a little bit much.
Maybe.
Yeah, so you get that card. Then there's another Frank Thomas. You get a 50%. At 70%, you get the Frank Thomas autograph, which is a diamond. So we'll see how that works into the collectibles. Then I believe it's 95%. You get the 97 Frank Thomas, and then you use that, get some stats, and then you get the programmer.
Yeah.
Speaking of rookie Frank Thomas, monster. 112 contact versus lefties, 88 power versus lefties, 125 discipline, 94 clutch. Again, the problem, 53 fielding. So I feel like Frank Thomas, dope card, kind of a liability.
Yeah, kind of a liability is being nice.
90%, you unlock the 97 Frank. 99 gets the universal profile nameplate. Yeah. And 100% gets you the program.
Okay.
But let's look at the 99. Let's look at the 97 overall Frank Thomas. 99 contact versus righties. 125 contact versus versus left. Blah, 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 blah. I got to get used to saying all this again. 99, 125 in contact. 95, 118 in power. 83 vision is all right, I guess. 125 discipline. 99 durability. And again, 57 fielding. I think this is a beast card, but again, high ability defensively.
I mean, the thing is, though, like, I don't know. He had a 991 fielding percentage that year. Like, is that really that bad for a first baseman? He made seven errors in 99 games because that was the strike shortened season.
Maybe you got to tweet at someone and be like, what's the deal? How's fielding calculated?
I mean, again, I'm a career huge fan that they use that year.
Career arc cards are based on single years, not like immortals that are the total of all their career.
Because he was having a historically good season up until the strike. Like, historically good.
Yeah, maybe Snaggle's not looking at defensive runs saved zone.
No, that's true. I mean,
they might be using these crazy advanced metrics that we don't really understand, that I'm sure people do understand.
Yeah, he had an 8.1 range factor.
Is that, you tell me that right now? I say, that sounds pretty good. What's the highest, like 10? But then you might come back and be like, well, the highest you can get is 127. And I'd be like, oh, that's trash then. So I don't know any of those stats. So
his runs above average was -8. So that's
that doesn't really sound good.
Yeah.
What's his VORP?
I don't have that on this one screen. I have to.
Isn't it VORP when it's like you have peanut and raisins? Is that VORP?
Yeah, probably.
Not sure. Beast card. Again, so if there's like another career arc of a first baseman that's not a 97, maybe the Frank Thomas will count more towards an immortal than that other one. Yeah, what is his Pecota?
Yeah, none.
Is it Bill?
Can I get an impact veteran Toronto Blue Jays Frank Thomas, though, please?
Hey, that could be that hidden one. That could be that 50% reward.
It's got to be. Hit his 500th home run with the Jays. Come on.
Are you going to be upset if it's an Athletics card? Well, you figure it's somewhere between a 76 and a 97.
It's got to be Blue Jays.
Ooh, Shuddy wonders if MLB will have any Twitch Prime stuff. I hope. That would be kind of cool. But as being I feel like all the stuff that's had Twitch Prime has been multi-platform or PC. I could be wrong. I could be just making that up as I go.
I wouldn't get your hopes up with Twitch Prime stuff.
Maybe we'll get some packs that they say aren't worth buying. The exchange, similar to last year's exchange missions, you can exchange commons for bronzes for silvers, etc. Similar to what you can do in Mutt, should help add value to commons. If they keep that common, in the screenshots they showed, it was like 10 commons for a bronze, 10 bronzes for a silver. If they keep that, maybe the commons are actually kind of worth something now. I don't think they're going to keep that. I would be, because like some of the exchanges we saw this year were what, like 100 stadiums for one stadium?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the exchange from last year, put in 500 equipments for a ball and as a habit pack, 350 sponsorship for a 10 pack standard bundle, 50 current MLB stadiums for one non-sellable classic stadium.
Yeah.
75 gold live series players for a diamond. So I don't think it's going to be 10 for each. If it was, that'd be nice. I'd be happy about that.
And you know what the sad part is? Is that you could literally quick sell 75 golds for 75K and basically buy the diamond that you wanted.
You could buy a you would buy a diamond that you are probably not going to pull.
Yeah, because no one is out there like getting Mike Trout in the exchange. It's not happening.
All right. What else? Also in the exchange, there's going to be stuff where you can trade in souvenirs to get better ones. Like we said, with the Nationals, they had like trade in 4 jerseys to get that hat. So that should be good. Yeah, all this stuff is going to be very interesting to see how the marketplace is going to be, this year. Because now with the new changing of the tiers, I assume it's going to take a lot more to jump from a silver to a gold or from a gold to a diamond than it did last year. So it should be very interesting to see how all this is going to play out, how much stuff's going to cost. And
yeah,
it should be very interesting.
The market's going to be all over the place early.
Yeah. Next up, daily missions. Still a thing. You can get 3. I think you can bank a 4.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah.
Those are going to give you daily reward packs, which have alternate jerseys and hats. I don't think it had anything else other than jerseys and hats. Did anything they say make you think that?
I'm pretty sure it was just jerseys and hats. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, so you can use those for those collector missions or for the exchange. A couple of random notes, as you can see, are great guys, Luis, Ramon, and Tips here. There's going to be no changes to the lineups, though you're still not going to be able to see the pitcher handedness when you go into a game. You're not going to be able to have verse left-handed and verse right-handed lineups. That was kind of the main thing they talked about there. They also went to a big thing, which I didn't really take any screenshots from because I can figure I can just say it. Shortstops and second baseman and maybe third baseman are not going to have defensive tiers, and the better you are at your fielding rating, the more access you're going to have to better animations and better throws. So you're not always going to get the best throw and best animation if you're a super high defender, but you're going to be way more likely to get one, depending on those ratings. And it seems like if you're very good at fielding, you're going to be making moves out of like the first branch option. If you're worse, you're going to have the second branch option. And if you're real bad, out of like the third or fourth branching options.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I think there was some follow-up tweets from Nick after that stream was over, just kind of explaining that the tiers weren't necessarily like meant to be like good, average, bad. It was more like average, above average, and great. Because like that was what a lot of people were thinking, is like, well, is like my, you know, 80 defensive shortstop going to be a bum now? Yeah. But like they were saying, like again, the example they use, Brandon Crawford, probably one of the best 5 defensive shortstops in the game. When you look at like live series, he's probably the best 2 or 3. So he should be making plays that other guys can't make.
Yeah. Live series fielding currently in MLB 17, live series fielding is 95 fielding, 91 arm strength, and 84 arm accuracy and 84 reaction.
So I think what they were just trying to show was that Brandon Crawford should be able to have animations and make plays that other players can't, is what I get out of it. And I'm perfectly okay with that.
I feel like defense has never had the, well, last year it started to come up, but defense has never been like a super priority. And it seems like they want it to be more and more each year. So
yeah,
I'm excited for that.
I still think it's stupid that we don't know the pitcher handedness before a game. No one will ever be able to sell me that that's a good thing.
Again, even if we don't know the pitcher handedness, let me have my 25-man roster. Let me have a verse righty and a verse lefty batting lineup. So I still need to have the carry the right team, you know. Shuddy says Andrelton, Brandon Crawford, and Frankie. I can't think of a shortstop named Frankie. Franklin Barreto.
Frankie Barreto,
Andrelton will be on my all-time Braves as my defensive shortstop.
Yeah.
Defense is important. Yeah. Defense up the middle. You need it.
The lineups thing to me is again, and I don't want to like dwell on it, but because of, you can go back to Bullpen Banter episode 32 when they first told us they were going to the Diamond Dynasty stream from last year where TJ and I railed on how stupid it was. My opinion is the same. I think it's ridiculous. Of all the things not to have, that still boggles my mind.
Yeah. Next up, upcoming schedule. I think we still have three more streams before get to the game.
Road to the Show.
Road to the Show is next week. GameStop Monday for Road to the Show. Road to the Show feature blog on the PlayStation blog. It has it on the 6th on the calendar. Ramon said it's probably going to be the 8th. Which is also going to be the day of the stream. And we're going to go back to Thursday streams for the next 3 weeks there.
Yep.
We will probably do Bullpen Banter Fridays, depending on how long those streams are and how much is covered. And then they showed Babe Ruth's attributes and they walked off. We're going to show you Babe Ruth's attributes. We're going to talk about them and then talk about one other thing.
Yeah.
Frankie Francisco, that we're going to get for shortstop.
Yes.
Great reliever. Is there a flashback for him? I think there was 2 years
ago. Yes. I think so, yeah.
Babe Ruth. Immortal. Oh, wow. 99 overall.
Yeah. Enough said.
I understand why they just walked off, because there's literally nothing to say.
Yeah.
125. Contact versus righty. Contact versus lefty. Power versus righty. Power versus lefty. Discipline and clutch. You know what? The only thing about this card, there's one thing about this card that let me down. Can you guess what it is? I know the chat knows. Go. What is it? Looking at this card, there's one thing that.
Is it that he doesn't have a secondary position of starting pitcher?
Bingo. That's why I love you, Chris. it looks like if you follow me on Twitter, and you ask who the greatest baseball player of all time is, the answer is the player who we are looking at in this card right now.
You?
Oh, yes, Babe Ruth. Me. A lot of that is because one of the best hitters of all time, Barry Bonds, amazingly great. Guess what? Barry Bonds didn't win 94 games. Babe Ruth did. So I'm a little upset that there's not, his pitcher isn't in this. I am hoping that somewhere in the Immortal program, there is pitching versions of him.
Yeah.
What if I told you this? Like, look, this card's dope, right? What if there was a super, super duper Immortal that had both? Get all the Immortals, then you get super baseball. God, pitching, hitting Babe Ruth.
I hope they have like a 97 Babe Ruth pitcher card.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you do separate cards, I understand. So that was the thing I was really upset with not having any new lineup stuff. Because it sounds like they're literally doing nothing to help you. And they don't explain how that's going to work.
Yeah.
Because how, if his card's just going to be a starting pitcher, you're still going to have to give him offensive stats. But what if I want to use him in the outfield? You know? And I don't think, I'm going to assume that the what's his name? Who's the guy from last year that I would put in my thing to make them better? Was he a reliever?
Oh, Christian Bethencourt?
Yeah, like there's no way to put Christian Bethencourt into your lineup unless you like put him in as a reliever and then like sub him in.
Yeah, so you do a double switch and then do another double switch.
Yeah, and then I'm wasting stuff.
Yeah,
the reason you use these cards is because you save a spot. So I do wonder how they're going to use that for Otani, and what if there is a Babe Ruth that's a pitching card, but he's better than your hitters. Wouldn't you want him to be in the lineup as an offensive player if you're not going to get him as a starting pitcher?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm very interested to see how that's going to work with Otani and what they're going to do with Babe Ruth going forward.
Like, I feel like if they're going to have, like, the thing is that.
I wish they would just do, if they're going to do it as separate things, just make two cards. Make a hitting version that has no pitching stats and pitching version that has no hitting stats.
And
again, that's not real.
And I feel, I feel like that's doing the Babe a disservice because, you know, in his five full seasons in Boston, he had 103, 152, 142, 382 and 543 plate appearances. So as his career moved on, he started hitting more and more and more because they realized, hey, this guy can hit. So, I mean,
we don't want him taking a day off.
And again,
I don't want him taking a game off in Diamond Dynasty.
And that's the thing. If you're trying to make an immortal Babe Ruth card, like, you know, you're looking at a guy who had a 23 win season, a 24 win season, had a season where he threw 300 innings plus with a 175 ERA, like, and still, you know, hit regularly. Like,
he set the baseball record as a pitcher, I think, right? It wasn't like his 29 home run year. I think that set the record was one that he won like 20 games in or 18 games in.
No, he start as his at bats increased, his pitching appearances decreased at pretty much a similar, because he had 24 wins in 1917. Then in 1918, he went from 326 innings pitched to 166 innings pitched, but he went from 142 plate appearances to 382 plate appearances. So again, as he started hitting more, he started pitching less. But that's not the point.
Right.
The point
But in that 1918 season where he went 13-7 with a 2.22 ERA and a 1.046 WHIP,
yeah,
still led baseball in home runs.
Yeah.
Even though he only hit
RBIs and on base percentage and slugging percentage and OPS and total bases. And that's the thing, is where I got kind of not upset, but where this whole thing kind of failed for me was, you literally said that the Immortals was the combination of the best of every season that this player had. Why the heck is Babe Ruth a one-dimensional player? It makes no sense. I hope that they have a plan behind the scenes, and I think you're going to be able to find out very quickly how they handle Otani in franchise mode is, and in Diamond Dynasty as well, because you assume Otani's going to have a card in DD. So how they handle Shohei Ohtani is probably going to give you a window into what eventually gets done with Babe Ruth, because as it stands right now, this Immortals card to me, I don't care if they have a separate card. I feel like it's a waste. Because even if you have a separate Babe Ruth pitcher, you can't do both.
There's no way to say if he's not the starting pitcher, put him in right field.
And that's, so I feel like if I have this 99 card and he can't pitch, or if I have a 97 and he can't hit, what's the point?
Don't get me wrong, still want this card real bad.
Oh, it's an amazing card. Probably one of the most sought after, the best cards we've seen in the series. But it's,
yeah, from the offensive perspective, yes, you definitely want this card. But I feel like from, you know, being excited that he's here and that we're getting Otani, who's, you know, the modern day reincarnation of him. Obviously, I don't think he's going to be as good as Babe Ruth, but
no.
Yeah, I wish they kind of would have done something a little bit better At least something, if you're going to use Babe Ruth, at least put the most interesting thing about him in the game. They went and they did Pat Venditti, where he could throw lefty and righty.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have done something for Babe Ruth. Again, you know, the game's still a couple weeks out. Maybe they're just not showing it. You know, maybe when this card actually does come out, maybe he can pitch. But I'm not really expecting that to be a thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
This Babe Ruth card is a million times better than Pepe Alizar. I don't care if the ratings are at the same. Yeah,
Pepe Alizar only had 90 power. They're 99.
Yeah, exactly.
Pepe Alizar got nothing.
Pepe Alizar was a joke.
Yeah. And now it seems like something they never, ever want to talk about.
And yes, he was born in Baltimore, so I don't get that either.
Yeah, I just verified that as well. I'll probably tweet at them to be like, hey, he wasn't born there. What else we got here? So when you see Babe Ruth come up, just walk him.
Yeah, see, don't throw
the ball. I have the arrogance to pitch to him, and I'm going to do it. And he's going to hit a home run off me, and I'm never, ever, ever going to pitch to him again.
Yeah.
Because with 125 vision and contact, he's going to have the largest possible PCI.
Oh, yeah.
And even if you have, you know, Craig Kimbrell with 125 hits per nine going against him, I bet it's still going to be real big. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. Put him on 64 speed. Just deal with that.
Yep.
That's where they ended the live stream. But that was not at the end of the information that we got about MLB The Show 18. There was a blog post that did come out. Did it come out like right after the stream or before the stream?
It was shortly afterwards.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't mention it, but I guess I'm not really surprised they didn't mention it. Online franchise will not be in MLB The Show 18. They say, you know, because of the stuff they're doing with all the servers and stuff, they thought that there wasn't enough stuff. There was so much stuff that has been done to online that they didn't go and do the stuff they would need to do to online franchise.
Yeah.
So they just cut it out rather than putting in the same one that kind of sucked last year. Go ahead, please.
Here's the two sides of my thing with this.
I'm going to pour some protein drink out for
you. Okay. So here's the one side. The people who have been raging on, listen, it sucks. If you're an online
This year I was excited to do it.
Yes.
When they said they were going to have all these servers better, I was like, sick. Online franchise might be pretty good. We might do one in the Bullpen Banter Discord. I'll put the link in the chat again. That's sportsgamer.com/BB Discord. Get in there. We're chatting about MLB all the time. We were going to do an online franchise, and it sucks that it's not there. But I guess it's better that it's not there than we go try to do it. We get all psyched up, and then it's garbage. Yeah. Because people had lots of disconnection problems, lots of games going to processing and all that stuff last year. So,
and I mean, the stamina issues and,
supposedly they fixed the stamina issue, I heard. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've been told.
So here's the thing. For people who play the mode, it sucks. The one comment that people have to stop spreading is I keep seeing people say, you've turned your back on so many people and such a large portion of your fan base. Like, online franchise compared to the other modes in the game.
Mm-hmm. And online franchise in other games.
Yes. Is the least played mode in the game.
I would have to assume so.
There's more people playing DD. There's more people playing Road to the Show. There's more people playing conventional franchise. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not trying to belittle the online franchise players because, again, I'm the same as you. I want an online franchise to work. I wanted it to be great. I wanted to get in one with my friends and just like be cool and, you know, have an online franchise and it run well. And it wasn't the case. So it's like, but this mentality that they've turned their back on a very large portion of, because they actually released, before 17 came out, they released the number of games played by mode, and online franchise was way behind. Mm-hmm. Now, the caveat is a lot of people stayed away from online franchise because it didn't work. But Like,
it was definitely a whole chicken and the egg thing where the mode wasn't good because they let it be not good. So people didn't play it. So they didn't put more resources to it because they said people weren't playing it. But
yeah. So if you're an online franchise player, would you not want them to try and take it out and get it right?
I mean, I would rather they had just put the crappy version that we didn't love back in, but I don't know if because of the stuff they did to the server, that would be impossible. But I mean, like, play now is still there, I would assume, like, in online, and play with friends with regular teams. So, I mean, I don't know how much it would be. But I'm also like kind of excited that, let's say the servers are great this year, and then they're like, all right, we're going to bring back online franchise. Maybe we don't even get online franchise next year. Maybe we get online franchise in MLB 20. But then it's like, you know, franchise mode, we're bringing it online. And it's not the slim down thing that we used to have. It's going to be the full deal. I don't know if that's just me being super optimistic about this.
Yep.
I hope that's the way it goes. But I almost do feel like maybe just cutting it off for a year or two is kind of the way we get there, rather than letting this broken, not great thing kind of flounder out there, even if the servers are better and we're still going to have problems.
I think the other frustrating part of it is that I would assume that a lot of people who are online franchise fans probably play offline franchise as well.
Right.
And offline franchise, like, as an avid offline franchise player, has not gotten the amount of love that I would like to see.
I mean, they added some stuff last year.
No, I know. And I gave them their props, but I feel like their franchise mode offline lacks the personality that I would like to have in a franchise mode, and the kind of things that make it interesting and interactive and whatever. But like it's the thing to me is, you know, whether they take it out, whether it comes back in 19 or 20 or ever or whatever, the thing that really bothers me about this is that they waited until 3 weeks before the game is coming out.
And especially with PlayStation's really awful pre-order policy.
Yes. And my Twitter timeline, like, is full of people trying to get refunds and can't.
And I think it's only like, if there is a law in your state where you have to issue refunds, those states are the ones that you can get refunds.
Yeah.
Like, what was it last year? What did you buy that I got a code of and I was going to give it to you?
Madden.
Oh, yeah. We ended up, Snaggle got a code because he's a valuable creator. Make sure you check him out, youtube.com/SnaggleJ.
I don't use YouTube anymore.
Twitch.tv/SnaggleJ.
There you go.
So, you know, EA reached out to him and gave him a code for Madden. And he's like, well, I've already pre-ordered and I can't pre-order it, so there's no reason for me to have this code.
Yeah.
Which was really upsetting. And now I know a lot of people that wanted to, that get the game to play only online franchise, placed their order assuming it was going to be in, and now they can't get it back. My recommendation always, if you need the money out of your wallet, because you'll just burn it, just buy PSN gift cards. Just do that. I still haven't pre-ordered MLB 19. I will do it, or MLB 18. I will do that like the Thursday before it comes out. It comes out on the 22nd or 23rd. Either Wednesday or Thursday is when I'll actually do it. And then I'll do the preload. Also, bonus, what sucks, if you win the copies from the streams, you don't even get those. If you get the digital deluxe editions they're giving away in the streams, those also don't open early. So those you have to wait till Tuesday to play. I don't get it.
Yeah, like I said, it's... the whole online franchise, the way it was handled for me was just was bad. Dropping it in a blog post, 21 days out from release, not a good look. Again, even if it is a smaller percentage of your fan base, those are still fans that you want to buy their game. It doesn't look good. You can't tell me that they only found out on Friday that online franchise wasn't going to be in the game.
Right.
And again, if that was the case, I would have expected a little more than, 112 words on their blog saying, we're sorry, it didn't make the cut. Well, like, it obviously didn't get cut yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, maybe there are still people trying to fight to get it in. I know.
And possibly.
Well, I mean, I don't work on the side of franchise hockey manager, but I know we did take out the online leagues in three, I believe. But I know that they were trying to fight to keep that in as late as humanly possible.
Yeah. And I feel like if...
But again, you could cancel those pre-orders.
Yes. And I feel like if they were fighting for it to the last minute, that's something you put in a blog post. That's not something you leave out. You don't just say it didn't make the cut.
Right.
Does it affect the way I'm going to play MLB The Show 18? Not at all. If it makes the servers better for Diamond Dynasty, again, no offense to online franchise guys, but if the Diamond Dynasty servers run better and they're able to put it back in next year and maintain good servers, I'm 100% okay with the decision.
Mm-hmm. But now said, I don't want it back next year as the same thing. I want it back next year as full franchise.
Yeah.
Not the half franchise that we had.
I would love
like Madden. Madden, is there a difference if you play online or offline? Like, is there any difference if you, I'm sure there's some little stuff, but I don't think there's much. And I think actually in Madden, I think specifically in that, it's better if you play as an online franchise. I think you can use some of the websites and stuff.
Well, no, but it's so there's several advantages of playing your Madden online. And I only learned this because I used to conventionally just play my Madden offline just because I felt it ran a little faster and a little smoother, but some of the conventional upsides to playing your Madden franchise in the cloud is if they issue major gameplay updates, you don't have to start your franchise over.
Yep.
It's stored in the cloud. So if you have, you know, a hard drive issue with your PlayStation or something like that, as long as you have PlayStation Plus or whatever the heck Xbox you need to store it online, things like that. Would I like to see them wrap franchise and online franchise into one a la Madden? I think that would be the best case scenario. I think that would be like, you know, again, if you could do that where it's conceivably the exact same mode, the only difference being one you play by yourself, the other you play with friends, you know, like I think that would be ideal. It'll be interesting to see if they cover this in more detail next week on the franchise stream, or if they try to avoid it like the plague.
Right. Well, franchise is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Next week. I'm already thinking of this as this week.
Yeah, I really hope they say something about it. Just at least for the fans, just to be like, look, we tried. We're sorry.
I'm aware Xbox doesn't help the show.
It's not going to help that they say it, but at least if you come out and you say it actually rather than a blog post, I think it'll mean more, but
maybe. And again, the flip side of my other argument of, you know, this being poor timing, maybe it's the best timing, because if they wait till the franchise stream, which is not for another 2 weeks almost, it's like, you know, 10 days 11 days from now, like maybe they will have a bigger explanation. This was like a, hey, if you haven't pre-ordered yet, or you live in countries where you can cancel pre-orders, like the UK on the PlayStation Network.
Oh, you can?
UK has a totally different cancellation policy than they do over here. In the UK, as long as you haven't gotten any of the product yet, you can cancel it up till 48 hours before.
So now here's my question. Like, was the 94 Aaron Judge that you get only for Digital Deluxe? Or was that all the pre-orders got it?
It was all the pre-orders got it.
Yeah, so if you did pre-order it, technically you had gotten something.
Yep.
So then you would have redeemed part of your order.
But it was something related to a different product, right? So there's gray area there, because it's not related to MLB The Show 18. It was a bonus in MLB The Show 17.
Right. That super happy note. Oh, you know what we should talk about? Coming up, April.
Meetup?
April 6th, Friday, April 6th.
Do you need the link? Because I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, for the thing, you can throw it in the chat. If you don't already know. I mean, it's so weird to mention this on here, but still. Snaggle J and I work for Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19, a simulation management game on your PC. We're going to be doing a meetup for the game in Boston during PAX Friday, April 6th, 6 to 8 p.m. Outside of Fenway Park, like where home plate of Fenway Park is, you literally cross the street. Beer Works number one. We're going to be doing a meetup there talking about Out of the Park Baseball 19. It's going to be pretty awesome. I will be there. Snaggle J will be there. Our good buddy Rich Grisham will be there. I don't know. Mills might be there. I know some other people are going to be there.
He's on the hook for it now.
Did he fill out the form?
No. I'm just saying. Well, you mentioned him by name, so
tell him to fill out the form so we can get him in. Because if you don't, if you're in the Boston area and say hi, take a look at Out of the Park Baseball 19. You can do that. Have some nice beverages on us if you want to fill that out. Again, only fill it out if you're actually going to be in the area and want to swing by. We're going to be at PAX in April. If you want to come say hi to us, I think we'll be there. We'll probably go down to the floor on Saturday for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
See what's up there. Then Sunday is the panel at 12 p.m. in the Arachnid. Is it the Arachnid?
Yep.
Yeah, not Arkanoid. The Arachnid Theater at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Definitely recommend coming out to see that. That's about it. MLB's coming up real soon. You know, we got the Road to the Show stuff is this coming week. Franchise after that, and then we're getting into it, right? They got the developer tournament, and then the release is going to be on March 23rd for those that pre-order the versions, or if you get it from the store that you need to, for the first pitch weekend, and then 27th is the full release. I'm super pumped. Are you pumped?
I'm excited. Merch is always a huge
I've been month. Watching spring training games. I'm very, very
yeah. Ready. Me too. Yeah.
I don't think, other than obviously the online franchise news, I don't think there was anything I disliked. From today's stream or from the stream that did.
It's hard to look like, I mean, you know, we can always play devil's advocate and look at the possible negative sides, but the thing with Diamond Dynasty is when it comes to all the content and all that stuff, until you see how it actually works and how it interacts with everything else, you just don't know. Like, yeah. You know, again, that's why I put out, I tweeted yesterday or Saturday asking, do people feel like there's too much content, knowing that you can't really answer that question. It's just a gut instinct to how people feel. And it was kind of half and half. Some people were like, no, bring on all the content. Other people were like, oh, I already feel overwhelmed and the game doesn't come out for 3 weeks. But like, really, it's like for the purposes of these shows, I mean, we play devil's advocate and we try to look at both sides and whether something's good or bad. But ultimately, you don't know until it comes out and you play it and you see how it works. Then you kind of realize, okay, this was a great idea, or this was a idea.
Yeah. So I'm excited. We also have the Pimp Manter, which will be coming soon. This is the same one I've been using for 2 years. But now Go On Volt has made us a nice, beautiful new overlay, which is going to let us do some cool stuff. I'm very excited to use that. Actually, when we finish the stream, I'll probably go in there and start playing around with it. Start getting things set up. Snaggle J, you got anything else you want to say? Tell the people to follow you on Twitter at that sports gamer. Yeah. Make sure if you want to follow Chris, it's on Twitter at that sports gamer. If you want to follow me, also on Twitter at gamer.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you follow me here on Twitch at twitch.tv/thatsportsgamer and on Instagram at instagram.com/thatsportsgamer and facebook.com/that's just follow me everywhere on the internet /thatsportsgamer. Actually, if you go to that's my website, thatsportsgamer.com, all the links are right there.
Yeah. You can sign up for Bullpen Banter to get that directly into your, digital audio player feed if you want to listen to the podcast version. So follow Chris, twitter.com/snagglej, twitch.tv/snagglej, snagglej.com I do believe has, if I'm not mistaken,
under maintenance at the moment.
No, don't tell me that.
It's under maintenance at the moment.
Worst. And then we'll be back for Bullpen Banter probably next Friday, maybe next Saturday. We'll see how things work out. Anything else? You good?
No, I mean, it's just catchphrase time.
Catchphrase time. I know what my favorite catchphrase is.
Me too.
We're done for this week. So thank you guys very much. I really do appreciate it. Now that we've come to an end, it is time for you to get out of the bullpen and get into the game. Take it easy, folks.